of press.
And it's easy to do, folks.
It is. It's a couple of clicks away. But make sure that you are doing your part to educate yourself and educate your community, because together we can get through this. Living in a world of alienation without critical thought, pretty much seals the tomb. Okay. That said, we'll see you next week. I think Lynn will be off in the wilds of... And no, actually, we won't see you next week.
Lisa I Loving. Skipped a week. Lisa Loving will be with you
next week.
Excellent.
And we'll be back soon. Thanks so much for listening, and have a positively revolting week.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Willamette River Revival Sunday, August 2nd from noon to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in North Portland. The Willamette River Revival is a community-based river festival to celebrate and reconnect with the lower Willamette River and its cleanup. The Grand Ronde Tribe will host a salmon bake. There will also be tabling by environmental groups, Native American crafts, live folk music, storytelling, and other activities. Again, that's the Willamette River Revival, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in North Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 17th Annual Pickathon, July 31st through August 2nd. Pickathon is 3 days and 7 stages of performances by a variety of bands such as Tune Yards, Shabazz Palaces, Ty Segall, Leon Bridges, Freakwater, and dozens more. Pickathon takes place at Pendarvis Farm in Happy Valley and features weekend or single day tickets, as well as wooded camping, food trucks, and local beverages. A full list of artists, stage schedule, ticket prices, and transportation options can be found at KBOO.fm/Pickathon2015.
This is KBOO Portland. Good morning. It's 9:02. And first up this morning, it's Veterans Voice with Marvin and Angie from Northwest Vets for Peace. Today, be aware, they're going to be opening the phone lines ultimately after introducing some topics. So stay tuned for that. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascada is off today. Instead, we'll hear Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. He devotes the entire hour to the show's recent coverage on Greece. And at 11, on the Radio Zine, educator Itoko Garcia discusses the role of oppositional relationships in learning, the importance of grade school children developing counter-narratives to what they're presented in school, and critical thinking to move toward social justice. Thank you, once again, KBOO members, for your great support for community radio. If you're not a current member, it's easy to become one by going to the website, kboo.fm, and clicking on Donate Today. Thanks in advance for doing that. And now we're going to get right to Veterans Voice.
We live in violent times, when the reasons don't quite rhyme. We watch the game and we tally up the score, but it's hard to count the cost. What's won and who has lost, when honesty is a casualty of war. And it's always been the plan of the ones who hold command. make the other side seem less than real. So we shout about our pride, and the deaths are justified, and we glorify the ones who do not feel. But I say don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. Don't fire till you hear the truth through the lies. Don't fire till you know the love in the heart of a mother's son. Until then, please don't fire your gun. Firing missiles on command, you don't have to watch them land. Pushing buttons in a video game war. Watching television screens, we don't have to hear the screams. But the people are still dying like before. So the graveyards are all filled with the ones who have been killed. And the families hear the words that they had feared. And we scream that we have won, while the mother mourns her son. And the battlefield is flooded with her tears. And I say don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. Don't fire till you hear the truth through the lies. And don't fire till you know the love in the heart of a mother's son. Until then, please don't fire your gun. Generals of all times have only fought to rule the minds of the people who will make the bullets fly. So the soldiers go and fight for what they believe is right. And the ones who give the orders seldom die. So we're left here with a choice. Will we hide or raise a voice? Will we fight a war, or will we fight for peace? 'Cause if there's one thing that I know, it's that the presidents won't go. Without the soldiers, all the wars will cease. They'll cease. And I say don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. And don't fire till you hear the truth through the lies. And don't fire till you know the love in the heart of a mother's son. Until then, please don't fire your gun. I said, please, oh, please don't fire your gun. Oh, please don't fire your gun.
Welcome to Veterans Voice on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, and at Hood River on 91.9 FM, and Philomath on 104.3 FM. And you can hear us as far south as Eugene and all the way to the Oregon coast. You can also hear our older shows if you go to kboo.fm/veteransvoice, and Veterans Voice will be one word, and you can hear some of our older shows that we've done over the years. And I'm Marvin. I'm here with Angie.
Good morning.
And we've got a lot of things we want to talk about today. And Angie had us a really interesting show that she was putting together, but we're going to do it next month, and she can talk about what that's going to be about. And boy, it's going to really be an interesting show, and I think you folks will enjoy it. And a little later, we're going to open up the phone lines, and with some of the stuff that we have, we want to hear what you have to say. And Angie has a really good question that she's going to ask, especially for the veterans, to see how you feel about this one statement people give. And we want to hear what you veterans, us veterans, have to say. And there's going to be a live performance. It's going to be a live media presentation. It's going to be at Book Bend East, Salem, Oregon, at 2235 Lancaster Drive in Northeast Salem. It's going to be on August 14th at 7 p.m. And filmmaker's going to be there. It's Mark Wasinski, I can't pronounce it right, and Lee Jones of Interview Production for a live multimedia performance on Friday, August 14th. The presentation, based on four-piece media experience of Vietnam, an interview, features a slideshow, original music, dramatic readings, music videos, video vignettes, and discussion. The event is free. And 1,000 Yard Stare Boy, the recently completed photo book, is soon to be under publishing contract with Stackpole Books and will be available for preview and purchase. And we'll talk more about that, and maybe we'll have the folks on the show we can't do it the next program, but we can talk about it again. And Mark is a 3-tour combat vet of Vietnam, and his life's work, Vietnam and interview, is built upon more than 4,000 photos and hundreds of letters home he made while serving in the Nam, first on a fire support base and then as a forward artillery observer in the field. And that was a tough job because those guys traveled with us. And every time that we needed artillery to be called in, it was these guys. And they weren't trained as infantrymen. They were cannon cockers, you know. And he has 100% PTSD, and it should be a wonderful program. And like I say, it's going to be coming up on August 14th at 7 p.m. at the Salem Book Bend East. So I think there's a phone number here that you can, if you want more information on it, you can call 971-600-3831. If you need more information about what's going on, and I'll see if I can get some more information from Lee Jones about more about this program. It really sounds really good, and especially coming from a Vietnam vet, combat vet, which would be pretty good. And I'm going to go through my next one, and then I'm going to let you do it. She's got a lot. Andy's got a lot here. I got this off the internet. I was going through, and some of my buddies that I'm on the internet with that served with me in the Nam. And this was the headline. Support our troops. Leaked document shows 238,000 veterans died waiting for health care. And that is a shame that these folks are, you know, our brothers and sisters are dying.
Where does the report come from?
I don't know. They said it was leaked. They didn't say exactly.
What article is that?
It was on Facebook. Angie can do it better than me, so she's looking to see. But it's documents from the Veterans Administration, and it's really, if you go on the internet, just put in support our troops, leaked document shows 238,000 veterans die waiting for health care. So that should be really, really an interesting article to read and to use against these right wingers. When these right wingers say that the veterans are being taken care of, we can throw this in their faces. So it's pretty interesting. And you know, we got more coming back all the time. And we need more and more health care, especially especially for the women veterans. My gosh, you see, you know, Angie, I was going to ask you about that. You know, I go up there, I get all my health care up at the VA, and I'm seeing more and more women veterans now than I've ever seen in, since I've been doing this. More than I've ever seen before.
Well, we're lucky in the Portland area that they actually have the women's clinic, because there are many different, a lot of VAs don't have even a gynecologist on staff or any women's specialists, so we're lucky here in this area.
Yeah, very lucky. And so go ahead, Angie, you got a bunch there.
Big old stack. Well, first thing that's coming up is this Saturday, July 18th at 2:30 p.m., report from Vietnam with Desiree Helligers. I believe I'm saying her name right. I hope I am. Desiree traveled on the 40th anniversary of the end of the supposed quote-unquote war into Vietnam with Veterans for Peace, Chapter 160, witnessing the effects of Agent Orange, the continuing threat of unexploded ordnance, which has killed over 60,000 people since the withdrawal of American troops, and the return of Monsanto, which manufactured Agent Orange. Desiree helped found the Center for Social and Environmental Justice at WSU in Vancouver. This is at the St. Francis Dining Hall at Southeast and Pine, Southeast 11th and Pine. Desiree will be joined at the talk by Portland activist Becky Lewing, who has been with the Vietnam Friendship Village Project since USA since 1996, and that provides therapy and medical care for over 100 children and 40 adults with various needs.
It's great.
So that, once again, is going to be this Saturday at 2:30, St. Francis Dining Hall, Southeast 11th and Pine.
Yeah, that's easy. It's here in Portland. It's easy to get to. Becky is Brian Wilson's partner.
Yes.
Yeah, Becky's wonderful. And she's been working with, in Vietnam, the Veterans for Peace chapter in Vietnam is, it's wonderful. And Chuck Searcy, a good friend of mine, and Don Blackburn are both members of that. And every year they take folks on that tour of Vietnam. And Agent Orange, Chuck really works with unexploded ordnance over there. He's one of the very early guys. He got there really early in the early 90s, and he works on the exploded ordnance. And all the time I'm getting these articles sent to me that shows and talks about these people getting blown up, you know, by unexploded ordnance. In fact, they just sent me one, I think it was last week, of a family just got devastated. Their husband, he got killed when he was plowing his field, and he hit an unexploded bomb.
Did you see that article this week that they found an old unexploded ordnance in Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge? A couple of kids
here in Portland.
Yeah,
I never saw that.
I've been going down to Oak Bottom for years, and a couple kids found it. It's actually on the local news website. You could probably find it on KGW or K2. Oof. Anyway, they had a picture of it. I believe I sent you an email about that. But anyways,
I forgot about that.
And it was, they found it just sitting there. And that's how long things can just sit around unexploded. But yeah, Oak Bottom Wildlife Refuge.
Yeah, they're finding stuff in Europe all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, unexploded ordnance in Europe. The farmers in their fields and cities that were bombed during the war, they're still finding them. And Japan finds them. Europe finds them. You know, any place where there was bombing during World War II, they're still finding them.
Ooh. I have another announcement. It's next Saturday. It is the Summertime Garden Party with Veterans for Peace, Chapter 72. This is a KBOO community-sponsored event.
Great.
From 2 to 5 p.m., Saturday, July 25th at the Peace House. The Peace House is located at 2116 Northeast 18th Avenue. Fun food, drinks, and silent auction featuring music by David Rovix, a guest from England, and a few words from Lloyd Marbett. Let's see here. And that is, once again, going to be next Saturday, not this Saturday. Saturday, July 25th, 2 to 5 p.m. at the Peace House. For more information, how you can donate items to the silent auction, if you would like, you can call Jenica. Her phone number is 503-232-1322. That's Jenica, 503-232-1322. And also, Thursday, August 6th at 6 p.m., 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the ever-present nuclear threat. This is going to be at the Portland waterfront at NATO Parkway in Cooch. And that's once again Thursday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza, sponsored by KBOO and many, many other affiliates.
That's a great one. That's a good one. Bill Byers, our good buddy Bill Byers, as you folks remember, was an atomic vet. You know, he was one of the guinea pigs down at the Nevada test site that blew off all those bombs down there. And Bill went to this every year. Every year he went to that. We used to go down there and be with them down there every year. And it's a really wonderful thing. And the older Japanese folks are, you know, passing away now. Mm-hmm. And they, boy, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah, Byers used to go to that all the time.
So, speaking of unexploded ordnance.
Oh, this is a good one.
I found this really good and troubling article about cluster bombs that the United States is shipping to Saudi Arabia to use in Yemen. Mm. And the problem with that is that even though we say that we are using somewhat quote-unquote more humane cluster bombs, which in and of itself is not humane, but they are supposed to have a 99% rate of working properly. And the problem is that we can't really control what happens to our weapons, to United States weapons, when we give them to somebody else. So fighter jets from the Saudi Arabia-led coalition have been carrying out strikes against Houthi rebels since late March. Mm. Now, according to Human Rights Watch investigations, they are also using cluster munitions, some supplied by the United States. More than 1,800 people have been killed. And as of late May, at least 135 of these 1,800 people killed were children.
Wow.
American cluster bombs have been banned by more than 100 countries. If you're not aware of how cluster bombs work, they are dropped from aircraft or fired from rockets, mortars, or artillery. When they are open in mid-air, many as several hundred submunitions or bomblets spread out over a wide area and explode. While the weapons are designed to target military installations and convoys, anyone nearby can be struck. Bomblets that fail to detonate or self-destruct can become de facto landmines. And they can remain on the ground until someone or something comes along that triggers this. So it's essentially just waiting to be exploded. Cluster munitions were first deployed in 1943 when Soviet forces dropped them on German tanks. Due to the danger they posed to non-combatants, they were banned by the Convention on Cluster Munitions, a 2008 treaty, signed by 116 nations. Tens of thousands of civilians, a third of them children, have been maimed or killed. After encountering the unexploded ordnance, and Afghanistan, Cambodia, Kosovo, Iraq, and beyond. So many of these, so many innocent people have been killed or wounded by these. The United States has not signed the ban.
Nope.
On the using these cluster munitions, and more than 80 countries, other countries, have not signed the ban. That includes also China, Israel, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. In fact, the U.S. did not participate in the negotiations at all. But they were extremely present through their proxies. We know that from WikiLeaks that the U.S. was putting a lot of pressure on allies not to participate in the process at all, and if they did participate, to reject the notion of a ban.
Yeah.
Then Defense Secretary Robert Gates stated that eliminating cluster munitions from the U.S. stockpiles would put the lives of soldiers and those of our coalition partners at risk.
Jeez.
By banning these things.
Just pathetic.
So, of the three types of cluster munitions identified recently in Yemen, two were manufactured in the United States and supplied by the U.S. government. The notorious BLU-97s, dubbed Yellow Killers, are called so for their high failure rate, were supplied to Saudi Arabia in the early 90s and have been dropped by Saudi-led forces in Yemen's Sada'a province. The other type is CBU-105. Those are manufactured by sensor-fused weapon. Those are sensor-fused weapons manufactured by Textron Systems Corporation. If anybody feels like calling them up right now, complaining.
Send them a nice letter, email.
In 2013, Textron landed a controversial $641 million contract to produce 1,300 of the cluster bombs for Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
So, once again, we're not providing veterans housing. We're not giving veterans enough medical care, but we can spend $641 million to produce cluster bombs illegally for Saudi Arabia to blow up Yemen, which makes no sense. This is the propaganda that surrounds cluster bombs. After the 2008 treaty, the United States came up with a policy that would end its use and export the cluster bomb munitions by 2018, with the exception of those that blow up 99% of the time they're deployed. So they're supposed to blow up 99% of the time. Well, that only works if they actually do that, okay? but the problem is that they oftentimes don't. In lab control tests, they've been found that they do. When they were used in the 2003 Iraq invasion, more duds than the 1% failure rate were found, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's a problem with that. And by law, the U.S. government can only sell or supply cluster munitions with a 1% failure rate, and they are to be used only on specific military targets where civilians are not present. But the Human Rights Watch coalition found that the Saudi cluster munitions attacks on Yemen occurred near populated areas, not surprising, such as the village of Al-Amar on its busy market day. A Yemeni journalist based in Sana'a says that the coalition's air force is targeting military sites in a very precise way. But the fact is that these sites are close to inhabited districts and is causing damage. Once you give a weapon to another country, you lose control over how they're going to use it, he says. This article is called How U.S. Cluster Bombs Banned by Most Countries Ended Up in Yemen.
Yeah, the cluster bombs, the little bomblets, they're about the size
of... It's like a bird shot, but bombs.
Yeah, they're about the size of a softball. And when they open up, they throw out these really, really sharp called flechettes. And they're really, really sharp. And that's just, I mean, they go through flesh like it's nothing. you know. And that's and like you said, Angie, the U.S. has never signed on to that. I don't think they signed on to the ban on landmines either, if I remember right. I don't think they signed on to the ban on landmines.
Well, they should definitely do that, but
yeah.
But a cluster bomb, now we know, is a landmine too.
Yeah, it becomes a landmine, definitely. And the U.S. also hasn't signed on to the International Criminal Court.
Yeah,
they haven't signed on to that. The landmines, the cluster ammunition, is such a problem. You know, children pick that stuff up and they think it's toys.
Right. And this is how the article actually started out. I didn't read the whole thing.
Go ahead.
On April 29th, three adults and a child came across some fist-sized canisters on the ground outside of Bakim. I'm not really sure if I'm saying that right. A Yemeni town controlled by Houthi rebels. To the 10-year-old boy among them, they looked like toys. Out of curiosity, they picked up the canisters, which then exploded. All four were injured, a nurse told Human Rights Watch. That the child was wounded in the stomach, and one of the adults received injuries to his face, torso, thigh, and crotch.
Yep.
Considering the kind of damage that cluster bomb submunitions can cause, they're lucky to still be alive.
Yeah, they look like toys. I mean, some of them look like butterflies. They look like butterflies. Mm-hmm. They look like all these little toys. Mm-hmm. And these little kids will pick those things up, boy. And that's a problem that they're having all around the world. And you know, God, I mean, the U.S. has not signed on to that. And I got our veteran our listeners, there's being a homeless veterans apartments are being built right now in Vancouver, up at the VA hospital up in Vancouver, and they're just building them now. They should be finished next year, I believe, and it's an apartment complex. So if you're a homeless veteran or you know a homeless veteran, I would get a hold of the VA and get my name on that list pretty fast.
Mm.
Because, you know, I mean, 95 apartments is nothing compared to the thousands of homeless veterans, which are being more and more veterans, and especially women veterans with children.
Yeah.
You know, they should be at the top of the line to get these apartments. But if you're a homeless veteran or you know a homeless veteran, have them contact the VA and see how you can get put on that list and get your get you a house, you know, a place to live in, because you deserve it. We're gonna open up the phone lines. You ready, Angie?
I'm so ready.
Okay, let's go. Phone number is 503-231-8187, and Tammy's back. I forgot to mention it. Tammy's back. We've missed her so much. Tammy's back, and she'll be taking. She'll be answering the phone. And Angie's got. You could talk about any of the things we talked about, or if you have something you want to bring up, you can do that. But Angie's got something really good here.
So if you don't know what to talk about when you call in, or you don't have a subject, how about this for a question? If you're a veteran, how does it make you feel when people thank you for your service? When somebody says thank you for your service or something along those lines, how does that strike you? Because I know the way it strikes me is pretty negatively. Marvin, how about yourself?
Yep. Me too. I have a real problem with that, thanking me for my service. I never say, and you know what bothers me worse is when another non-vet says it to me. Hmm. When another non-vet says, thank you for your service and welcome home, you know, I just do not like that.
Hmm.
You know, I always say, I'm glad you made it. You know, I'm glad you made it. So, you know, that's what I always say. I do not like, you know, thank you for your service, because they don't know what we did. They don't know the pain and
anguish. Well, here's the issue, too, is that this is what I don't understand. If somebody's going to say thank you for your service. And it almost always only happens to me when it's 4th of July or Veterans Day, or I'm getting a discount at Home Depot. Those are the times when I actually get thanked for something like that, or my 10% discount on Tuesdays at New Seasons. Okay, those are the times when I will sometimes get that. Except for, here's a problem I have. When you don't take the time to really understand veterans' issues,
mm-hmm.
when you feel like just saying thanks, hey, thanks, appreciate it. That somehow it makes all of the rest of that suffering legitimate. That is not something that really strikes me in the right way.
Yeah, it's and especially for women. Okay, we got a call. Especially for women veterans, for one thing, people don't even think about women veterans. You know, there's this woman, a young woman parked. She had a veteran's disabled license plate.
Right.
And I was standing on the sidewalk. I wanted to talk to her, and she got out of her car. And this a family's going by, and they said, "Oh, what branch of the service was your husband in?" And she said, "My husband, I'm the veteran. I was in the war, you know." And she just had this, you know, thing, you know, like, my husband.
It's very frustrating. And here's the other thing too: when people complain about when people put those bumper stickers on their vehicles, support the troops, and all this kind of nationalistic propaganda, you have to remember that you're driving by homeless veterans on the street with that on your vehicle. And if you're one of those people who is racist and doesn't like immigrants, you have to remember how many people of color are in the military and are the troops.
They are the troops. And you had a really great idea for another show that we're going to do, and that is all the guys that weren't American citizens that were in the service that got kicked out of the country and sent...
Deported.
You know, deported. And there's a ton of those guys.
There are many deported veterans.
A lot. And we're going to do a show on that. And Tammy says that we got a phone call, so welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show.
Hi, James.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Just to be more on that point, I mean, I think instead of thanking veterans for their service, we should actually start helping them. I totally
agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I have a cousin who served in Iraq. I have three buddies that have served, and you know, and it's just appalling to me how little service they're getting from the VA. And more importantly, I mean, my cousin is still pretty wrecked about the kills that he about his confirmed kills over there in Iraq. And you know, there's no, you know, there hasn't been any sort of way to readjust him to civilian life. So I'm totally on point with instead of thanking, we should be helping.
Yeah,
it's easy to pat someone on the back. It's real hard to look somebody in the eye and ask them, well, what can I do to help you?
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. And it's your cousin? You said it was your cousin, Dan?
My cousin. My cousin, yeah.
Mm. When did he get out?
Huh?
When did he get out of the... Well, I guess I should say he or she, but I believe you said he... Out of the military...
It was a couple years. It was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's still right in that transition time.
Yeah, he's had some run-ins with folks. It really only happens when he drinks, is when all the stuff comes out about the war. And mm-hmm.
Is he in the Northwest?
Yes, he is in the Northwest.
He can always can. Does he have access to the VA or the Portland Vet Center?
I believe so, yes.
He should definitely contact. One of the things, I wished I had I usually carry the number, but the Veterans Outreach Program, that is a good one to go to. It's a Veterans Outreach, and you should really talk to him about going there, because I went through it, And I still, even to this day, I was in Vietnam in 1968. And even to this day, I have to go back every year and talk and go through to the psychiatrist and the psychologist that deal with PTSD out at the vet center. And your cousin definitely needs to go get some help, because it does never go away.
Oh, I totally agree. And just one more point.
Sure, go ahead.
So about that that shooting that happened with those three Marines. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't condone violence against really anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, would it, I don't know, I guess in critical thinking, you know, because I don't place any blame on the troops because they're just out there doing what they're asked to do for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at seeing how many people the government's killing namelessly and facelessly, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be really, I guess instead of asking, well, why, you know, instead of blaming the guy for going out there and shooting Marines, I mean, maybe have people start questioning, well, what's our purpose? What is the ultimate purpose of the United States in the war? Because so many innocent people are getting, I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's innocent, but I mean, a lot of innocent people are getting killed out there.
A lot.
You know, and I mean, I don't know, I guess it just kind of sucks because there's such a huge amount of Islamophobia in our country. You know, mm-hmm. you got people lining up outside of the mosques, you know, in full war gear, full camo.
Right now?
There was an instance of it. I want to say it was a few months ago that there was a bunch of people protesting a synagogue somewhere, and people showed up with loaded rifles ready to go, and it's like,
I heard that. You know, I heard about that.
Yeah, and instead of questioning, well, you know, why do we have mosques in our country? Because we had mosques in our country pre-9/11.
But instead
of asking, well, what's that? It's like asking, well, what is the United States' purpose in the war? And if they can't give you a straight answer that doesn't have to do with colonization or helping the Israelis with colonization, then maybe we should start, you know, pulling our troops out of there and start giving people meaningful education on what it means to be a Muslim instead of saying, well, you know, towel heads are bad.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for your call, and you really had some good stuff, buddy. And tell your cousin to go to the vet center. Please do.
As long as he keeps talking to people, that's really what's important.
Yeah.
I mean, that drinking and PTSD don't go together very well.
Yep. So have him go. Thank you, buddy, for calling. And I was going to bring that up too about what's the attacks that are happening now, and you know, all of this didn't. All of this, man, I just get so angry. George W. Bush started this whole mess. I mean, this has been planned out for years and years, you know, before, but George W. Bush is getting away, man. I mean, he attacked Iraq, an innocent country that had nothing to do with September 11, nothing at all. And he attacked that country, and then they're wondering why that people attack us, you know?
Mm.
And he's the war criminal. And just, he's getting away with this, you know? Something else, Angie, I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a veterans organization, and I just can't believe they did it. They invited George W. Bush, the same man that sent all of those guys to Iraq and Afghanistan, especially Iraq, they got all shot up. They got just hurt so bad and torn apart mentally and physically. And they came home and they become part of this organization and you know, trying to do good stuff. So here they invited George W. Bush, the war criminal, you know, who started that filthy war. And George W. Bush charged them $100,000 to speak.
Wow.
He charged them $100,000 to speak at a veterans
I think his
program
artwork kind of looks like Charles Manson.
And he said, you know, they jumped him about doing that, you know, and they said, well, he gave us a discount. He usually charges $350,000, but he only charged us $100,000, you know.
Wow.
And George Bush, you know, caused all of this.
Does he even know how to talk?
I don't think he knows how to talk. I don't think he. I just get so angry.
Seem to know how to say much.
You know, every innocent Iraqi that's been killed in Iraq, every soldier that was killed in Iraq, every innocent civilian here that gets killed by like happened down in Tennessee, that's George W. Bush's fault. I mean, he started this mess, and he has to be held accountable for it. So that's just me ranting.
Unfortunately, he's padded with wealth and prestige, and we're in the middle of resource wars across the world.
That's exactly what they are.
Within the United States and outside of the United States, we're in the middle of resource wars, and at the top of that right now is Lockheed Martin, of course, mm-hmm. as we know. They're maxing out on how much they're being able to make right now off of taxpayers, and so when I hear people say, oh, thanks. thanks for being in the military. It really strikes me as kind of shallow and nationalistic and disgusting.
It is.
Because how much time are people really taking out of their day to understand the inner workings of this stuff and the sacrifices that people have actually had to make?
Well, it's so easy for people just to hear the propaganda that the government puts out, you know, to do it. Nick Turse, our good buddy Nick Turse, which is such a good writer. He's got a new book out. I was going to bring it today, and it has to deal with American troops now being in Africa and how many American troops are in Africa and all the stuff they're doing down in Africa, you know. And the stuff he talks about is just amazing. And so Nick Turse's book, I'm so sorry I didn't bring it, but just go, you know, go on the internet and put Nick Turse in, and it'll come up, and his new book will be on it. And I think it's called The New Battlefield Africa or something like that, that he's his new book. And I hope that we can get a hold of Nick and have him talk about his new book. But they send all these troops. Tambu got another call? Okay. Maury? Go ahead, Maury. You're on.
I think she said Lori.
Lori? I'm sorry, Lori. My ears are bad. We're welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show.
And I thank Veterans Voice for their service.
We're trying. It's a different. It's a different. Kind of
service. I hope it's service on the radio.
On the radio, yes.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention House Resolution 4655, which I think you should take a look at, which called for regime change in Iraq long before George Bush. We had the no-fly zone under Clinton.
Under Clinton, right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bombing Iraq three times a week on the average.
Yeah.
And if it had not been paved the way for Bush, it would have been much harder for him to pull that war.
Yeah.
Reading that resolution is important because
what does it say? HR 4655
to do in the regime in Iraq, to get rid of there and take over, and call for some funding for any small militia that was ready to do it. Just set up the whole program.
Yeah.
So it does pair. It's hard to find who is the originator on some of this stuff, but I'm not so sure that George W. might have done it anyway.
He would have.
After the invasion of Kuwait by Iraq, from then on, George Sr. and Clinton really paved the way for what has happened subsequently.
Oh, boy,
and the Clintons love war.
Mm-hmm. So seems like
they have no problem at all with it. So
well, they do, and then they like to pretend like they don't, because obviously, they've with Clinton passing the North American Free Trade Agreement, and now with the the TPP support and everything, that is a war within itself. That's a resource and economic war that's driving people off their farmlands in Mexico.
Yeah, no, and that all contributes.
Oh, it does. It all contributes
to it. Yes,
it's just a pathetic, and boy, that's a good one. I'm glad you let us know about that.
Okay.
And thanks a lot for calling in, listening to the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
I think we have another call. Tammy, we got another call?
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hi. I wanted to call up. I'm a veteran as well, and I wanted to thank you guys for the show. I've been listening for a couple of years now, and I really appreciate the perspective that you put out there.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk real quick to the thanking a vet thing, which is something that I've been sort of wrestling with for a long time, that it seems like sort of on the part of the person who does the thanking, it's sort of like a programmed reaction to finding out that somebody has served.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be sort of a canned response to it, which is sort of, well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And it's this sort of like a feel-good loop of, as long as you don't really scratch the surface of, what you're talking about, the reality of what,
their experience was.
From the individual experience on up to what it is that, at the entire, global scale, what are we actually doing in the world?
Mm-hmm. It cheapens it.
Sure. And for me, it's the sort of, inner conflict introduces in that I feel like it's an opportunity for education, but how do you do it without coming across as being ungrateful or rude to this person who obviously is very in that sort of traditionally patriotic sense, just doing what they think is the right thing, by thanking you. And it's there are times where where I'll try to venture down the path, if there's a chance to conversate and sort of say, well, these are the things that I'm proud of, with my service, and there are other things that I'm less proud of. And so essentially try to bring it around to if you're thanking me for my intentions when I sign the papers of my service, then you're welcome. But if you're thanking me for, what I participated in while I was deployed overseas or otherwise, then, it's so hard to actually say that,
So do you get it a lot? Like Angie was saying, on 4th of July, Memorial Day,
that. So I'll say that I've been in probably more of a unique situation over the years. I've been a career service industry employee. And so for many years, chunks at a time, I've found myself working as a bartender or otherwise, behind a bar, where, sometimes you're just chatting with regulars, and particularly when I worked at a place over in deeper southeast, and it's more of a working class crowd. There's a lot of people who are veterans as well, and it's something that I'm a pretty open person, so I will share with people that I served.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, as soon as they hear that, that's the very first thing, is a firm handshake and a thank you.
How does that make you feel?
Like I said, it's a for me personally, it's a conflicted thing. There are a lot of aspects to the Marine Corps and to Marine culture that were very positive and still to this day resonate as a positive influence in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
but at the same time, like I said, it's more like what's the implementation of it all? What is this? From certain angles, living a very healthy physical lifestyle. I mean, a lot of opportunity to read and pursue knowledge outside of what you're being told to do. I mean, all these things that. For me, not everybody took it this way, but for me, it was a great opportunity for sort of self-advancement and self-exploration.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you sort of while you're just out there doing what you're told. I don't know. I mean, it's,
I understand. Like I
said, it's hard for me to articulate even,
well, it's hard,
even myself,
it's,
let alone to, but I guess I do, you know, it's at least in that moment, like when I have had, you know, the opportunity to delve a little deeper in with people who I maybe, you know, just knew as customers at the bar, or even people who I just had met that day, but the conversation just happened to kind of delve a little deeper. I feel like, if nothing else, I have been able to, because I've seen it with my own eyes, that maybe they've never ever heard somebody say, well, maybe you should take a second thought about some of the things that you hear, or, you know, some of the things that you assume about what it means, and just to sow those seeds, you know, and maybe that's the best you can do.
Yeah, I think that's really important to, rather than just say, hey, thanks for your service, good job. I think it would be much better if somebody took the time to actually ask, what did you do? What was it like? How do you feel? What is your life like now? How is your transition? But, maybe asking some questions and being more interested rather than just saying that blanket statement, and getting skirting around the whole underbelly of the reality of what being a veteran consists of.
Sure, the nitty gritty of it. And
sounds like you got a little kid.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm chasing my. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, okay. And I just pulled the 1-year-old off the table that he thinks he should be climbing on.
Okay, thanks. thanks a lot for calling,
Matt.
And it was really wonderful. And,
all right.
And hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, always, one day at a time. And
there you go.
Have a good day.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Yeah, he makes a good point there, you know, but. Because people don't get past that. They don't know what to say after they say, you know, thank you for your service. So we don't know what they mean after that. It's, I don't know what to say about it. I want to talk just a little bit here. One of the things also that's been brought up that we really fought hard here in Portland, and that was to get the recruiters out of our school.
Oh, gosh,
we
fought
that and fought that and fought that, and we fought John Grushaw.
I know a little bit about
Dan
that.
Dan Handelman, you know, and Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and just a whole bunch of people, man. We just fought that and fought that. And finally, we wanted to get them out of there because war is such a horrible thing. We wanted to get them out on that, but we... we really couldn't. So we got them out on the on gays in the military. On that they were prejudiced against the gays in the military. And the Portland School District has a thing in it that, you know, that's discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got them out on that. We got them out on that. And it was so good that we had them out. We had them out, Tammy, for a long time. Remember? And we had
I believe it was 8 years.
Yeah,
and
it was
when,
a long
and then when
time.
No Child Left Behind
That's
happened.
It. Exactly.
They that ordered no federal funding for public schools unless you let military recruiters back into your school.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to bring up. When they put that's how they got in, No Child Left Behind. And now finally the people are starting to realize what that child left behind. Some children left behind. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to really change on that. And that is a good thing. But on it, the recruiters still get to get the list of children's names.
They do, unless parents
opt out.
Do sign the opt out form. Otherwise,
they're automatically put in.
Right.
And so we tried to say, okay, Portland, we want to have to opt in. They have to opt in, that the parents have to opt in, not opt out. Mm-hmm. Automatically, they're opted out. They have to opt in.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't realize until they came to. A friend of ours, he came and said, you guys, that's a great idea, but it's in the law that they're automatically put in.
Right.
So, well, we're just about done
and
here.
And I just finished my fourth year as a counter-recruiter in the Portland Public
Yay!
School District.
Yay! We're just about done. We only got a couple minutes and we want to play our last song, but thanks for listening to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM. And Angie and I will be back on August 21st And there it is.
Oh, I marched to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we won with a saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't marching anymore. For I marched to the battles of the German trench.
Good morning. It is 10 a.m. and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, Air Cascadia is off today. Flashpoints, we'll hear Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. He devotes the entire hour to the show's recent coverage on Greece. And at 11 on the radio zine, educator Itoko Garcia discusses the role of oppositional relationships in learning, the importance of grade school children developing counter-narratives to what they are presented in school, and critical thinking to move towards social justice. That sounds interesting. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. And I want to thank KBOO members for your support for community radio. If you are not a current member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
I'm a loving the old lion, a winner without fail. KBOO.